Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. We're located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 between Highway 164 and Highway F. We're in that Ridgeview Corporate Park Center. We're also in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building across from Winkies. And we're so fortunate, especially with winter upon us now, that we have an office in Bonita Springs, Florida, and we get to visit clients there. My guest today is Chris McGee, and Chris is the chair of the College Savings Foundation. He is someone that sits down and helps families save for a lifetime of education. He also serves as a Commonwealth Savers General Counsel and head of its policy division. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks, Karen. Glad to be here. Appreciate you having me.
You know, this is something, of course, as us being a financial company and working with clients, and we look at some of the largest expenses that our clients are going to face. And very often, you know, they want to buy a house and they want to save for retirement. And somewhere in between all that, if they have a family, is college education. And right now, people are really worried about not only just the idea of funding college education, but the importance of, is college education the only way people can go? Or are there other opportunities that their kids might be looking at, or they can approach those different types of trades? And then, of course, how to pay for education. And that is always such a big question. And with our clients, Chris, it's always, should we pay for college education? Should they have skin in the game? I mean, you know, all those questions that face, and now kids are having more difficulty getting jobs after college and having big college expenses. So I know we're going to start out with, you know, just the shift, what people are seeing with this whole concept of education. And can you give us a little bit of an idea of what that looks like?
Yeah, happy to. And they're right to be worried. It is education, especially after high school education, is expensive. And that's not just for college, it's for career and vocational programs as well. And so, and having put two children through undergraduate and graduate school, it's best to start early and as early as you can, and it's best to save regularly. What my organization, CSF, does, it's a nonprofit association. We're made up of both private and public sector folks, and we're there to help American families save for an education for a lifetime. You know, it used to be what we saw, and we do kind of keep a tab on what people are thinking about higher education and where their goals are. We do a survey every year. We started out about 19 years ago, almost 20 years ago, surveying parents across the country. And then we added a student survey about 16 years ago. And we're asking American families about, you know, what their higher education goals are, where their children are thinking about going, and equally important, as you brought up, how they're going to pay for that, how they're going to afford those educational decisions. And the annual surveys, I think, reveal a growing trend, and it's a positive one, is that education is for a lifetime. It's a lifelong journey. So it's not just those several years after high school graduation, you get your whatever educational path you choose, you just, and you're done after a couple of several years. It is for a lifetime. And, you know, 80% of parents believe, according to the survey, that children will need to acquire a new skill throughout their lives. And they, you know, they also think that about 86% of parents want to, and it's always been a high number in this survey, want to prioritize education funding. Now, they may not be able to pay for it all, but they will be, they want to prioritize it. They want to save. And this is especially challenging with budgets, with inflation where it is and the budgets getting tighter. But there's a strong, really motivation amongst parents to do that. So it's reassuring to know that parents are putting some resources aside, not only for their kids, but only for also for themselves. About half the parents we surveyed say that they themselves will acquire additional education or certifications to advance or change careers. And I think that this is particularly important, you know, with the impact of artificial intelligence in all of our lives. I don't think any of us can really, or there's no one that knows truly what the impact of AI is going to do. Is it going to help us, or if it, is it going to replace us in the workplace? But I think the rules of the workplace remain the same, is that we have to challenge ourselves to bring higher level thinking to our work. And we can acquire that through continuous education.
Do you know, Chris, when I sit down with clients so often, and I've been blessed to be in this business almost 40 years. So I've gone through this whole transition of children, having children, and now trying to save for grandchildren and children. And so often I'll hear someone say, you know, we spent all this money and they've got this degree in education. They're doing something completely different. They're not even in education. Yeah. How do people plan and think about that? And I don't have any idea what the statistic might be as to how many people actually stay within the working force doing the degree that they got in college, because we all change. We all have an idea of what we think we want to be and and what we end up being. I mean, I had no clue that I would end up in the financial industry. And in fact, if my mother was still alive, she'd tell you she couldn't believe it because I was terrible at math. And she told me that over and over and over again. How can you be doing what you're doing? But, yeah. You know, so how do parents plan for that? And also their own education, in the sense that I'm not happy in the job I am. What if I wanted to do something different?
Well, I think first off, you know, I'm a history major. I went into banking and then married my wife, who was a math major, and then went into the law. So you don't, it's a long journey for all of us. And hardly anyone stays in a the same career for their entire journey. And so I think it's important. Well, the one common denominator on all this is that to succeed in your current job, to get that next job, whether it be in the same type of career or a different one, takes education. And education costs money. And I think if, you know, in our parents' survey right now, traditional college, you know, about 30% of parents out there choose or say that their child is going to public college or university with an emphasis on public. So they're making that traditional college choice, but about a third of them say they're going to go to the public university because of the lower price tag. What's interesting, and that's been the case for a while, but what's interesting is that parents, you know, the emergence of skilled trades and vocational programs. Right now, 13% of the parents that we surveyed said that their child is intending to go to a skilled trade or vocational program, becoming an electrician, a plumber, that type of thing. And that is running almost neck and neck with those parents who say, I'm choosing a private university with that higher price tag. That used to be one of the most popular choices. But the price tag for that private post-secondary experience has gotten a lot more expensive. And I think basically, if you look, if you go over to our student survey and the responses there, what's impressive amongst these students is that they realize that higher education comes at a price. They realize that they're going to have education for a lifetime in order to remain competitive and to advance in their career. And so at least to make that first initial step into higher education, young people are developing strategies to make that more affordable. And 86% are planning on working full or part-time while attending classes, with 28% saying they're going to work full-time. So that, as you know, because if you had a part-time job during college, like I did, you know, even a part-time job is a very challenging thing when you're managing classes and everything else that goes on in college. 69%, and this is another kind of impressive figure, is 69% of the students that we surveyed said they plan on live at home. So they're foregoing that dorm life, they're foregoing that full campus experience in order to get to that next step in their education. And 42% of students out there say they're pivoting to community college for that first couple of years at least, then perhaps moving on to four-year college degrees with the programs that are now exist, where you spend 2 years at a community college and then you go to a 2 years at a four-year college and not only get your community college degree, but also your full bachelor's degree at a four-year college. They're also considering, again, those skilled trades and vocational programs. The bottom line, and the reason why CSF exists, is that two-thirds of the families out there expect to take out loans, regardless of their savings. So, and right now, as you know, educational loans are reaching about $1.8 trillion, which is just mind-boggling. And so we're out there trying to put out the word that you can save for this. You can cut down your dependence on student loans or eliminate it. And we just want folks to start.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is Chris McGee, and Chris is the chair of the College Savings Foundation. Chris, let's just talk about, you mentioned this whole like concept of lifelong learning, and how can we connect that to financial well-being? How does investing in education, even at later stages, translate into better financial outcomes for families? And I think that as we're listening to all these things, you know, it's how I think this education, the idea, the more you can get education, the more opportunities that you have, the more opportunities you have, gives you this choices for leaving a different type of a legacy in a family.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think folks know that basically the more training you get, whether that be in, you know, a profession or a trade, the more money you can make. And basically, the flexibility there is saving for that next step. And that's what 529 education savings accounts are all about. You know, we had when I got involved in the industry about 20 years ago now, 529 education savings accounts were really just college savings accounts. It was, you know, we'll pay for tuition, we'll pay for room and board, we'll pay for fees. Over the intervening 20 years, that savings mission has expanded, and 529s have become much more flexible in the kinds of education they pay for. Right, you know, this past summer, Congress, after years of, you know, working on it, have passed a bipartisan piece of legislation that says, you know, in addition to that college or community college price tag, we're going to also cover, if you can use 529 savings to cover a skilled trade and vocational program, like if you want to become a truck driver, a CDL training course costs money. Cosmetology school, if you want to become a beautician, costs money. You can save for it through a 529. If you become a plumber, a welder, or electrician, you need to spend some money in order to go to that next run to earn those monies. Those trades are in high demand right now, and that is one way you can improve your earning potential by going that way. And again, those trades have a lifetime arc. It is truly something that you work on for years and years to become a top earner in those areas. The entry price for some of those trades are, for instance, an aviation mechanic, getting those initial certifications to become an aviation mechanic. A high-paying trade, it costs between $6,000 and $60,000 initially to get in to that trade. Welding certificates to get that welder, because goodness knows we need more welders, it costs between $3,000 and $20,000. So it's smart to save for them. And most parents out there, 78% of them are saving something. And one third are doing it through 529 savings plans. And those are tax advantage programs. So it enhances the saving potential. In addition to saving for skilled trades and vocational programs, Congress also expanded our mission to cover professional licensing and certification fees. So if you're a CPA, and hopefully you pay, or a lawyer, hopefully you've used your 529 to help pay for those accounting classes or for law school, and now you're facing that horrendous, I hear, CPA exam or the bar exam, which is not very fun, and you need to take a study course, you can use your 529 to help pay for that. And if you're a nurse, teacher, social worker, real estate agent, financial advisor, you have continuing education requirements, which cost money, which maintain your licenses, which help you get to that next step, which help serve your customers or patients better. You can use your 529 college savings account for that as well.
If you're just tuning in to us today, I just want to reintroduce my guest today is Chris McGee, and he's the chair of the College Savings Foundation and head of the policy of Commonwealth Savings. And, Chris, you've been talking about how people are looking at different alternatives other than thinking that the four-year college is the only way to go. And so we've been talking about some of the trades. Do you have a recommendation that you can make to parents that are listening today? How do they talk to their children about the idea versus college education, looking at a trade? And what is the scope of how people in the community are looking at that? I know when I was in school, which I graduated in 1967, it was college or not. I mean, that was the most important thing. And if you weren't going to college, you were not going to succeed. Well, I never went to college. I started out with being an x-ray technician and early on discovered that that wasn't for me. I needed connection to people. People would come in to get an x-ray and I never knew what happened to them. They were gone. And so it was just like the shuffling of people. And so I ended up in the financial world and of course now have a very successful financial company. And so everybody doesn't have to go to college. That isn't the only route that there is. But I know with my parents, when I didn't go to college, they were so, it wasn't a conversation. People didn't have conversations. That was it or not. Or you could become a teacher or a nurse and go to college. Those were my options. So how do parents talk to their children about the affordability, the opportunity, helping the kids to really sort of figure out what is their best plan, the best strategy, maybe in the short run and the long run?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great journey you described. I come from a family where we succeeded by going to college and then to grad school. I mean, my family comes from the coal mining area of southwestern Virginia and the working class neighborhoods of Baltimore. And we essentially increased our earning power and by going to that higher education. You're right. When I was going, I went to school in the 80s and college was still the only ticket. We were told to make sure that you continued on that pathway of greater earning potential. and that. And I think that that has, I think in the intervening, 40 years since we've been out, I think there's been really kind of a more enlightened view of career paths. And I just speaking, as a parent, I my advice comes from my own experience of talking to our kids, my wife and I talking to our kids, and figuring out what they want to do. And I think one of the most powerful tools that any parent has is the kitchen table. It's where you get to know, that and carpool, I think, are the best places to get to know your kid.
Yes.
Because you hear, you get to know them, you get to know their strengths, you get to know their interests, get to know them as people. And then, you can start developing conversations about what do you want to do with your life? You want to do something meaningful. You want to do something that you're good at. You want to do something that you enjoy and that you would be, that you think you have an interest in. And all those things are kind of have to go into the mix, or no one element is the determinative. But you go in there and you figure out what's possible. And I think then you start talking about, okay, you have kind of this nebulous thing about the journey and where you want to be. Okay, how do you make that happen? And then inevitably, you get down to, okay, we have a pathway, we have an idea of what you want to do, we know how to get there. Then almost inevitably, it gets back to cost. Okay, you want to become a welder, you want to become a doctor, you want to become a CPA. And then I think it's time to, start having conversations. And I think parents, and I know I did until I started reading our student survey, I think parents sometimes think that their kids aren't aware of the high price tag of that, higher education, regardless of the path. And I think that our polls and our surveys with younger people say that they're very much aware, of the high cost of that. So it's okay to let your kids know that that's going to be a challenge for the family to, pay completely for a welding certificate or medical school or whatever it is. And that it's okay also to let the kid see that you struggle a little bit with that. And I think that out of that struggle, out of those honest conversations comes a plan and a realistic approach. An honest conversation about what that's going to take.
I know one of my clients, his child wanted to go to a very expensive school, and they were debating on what the right direction was. And he took his daughter to the car dealership, and he said, "What do you think about that car?" And she said, "That's really great." And he said, "That's what 1 year of school will be for you."
Yeah. Yeah.
The cost of
their
car.
That's right. Yeah.
She went like, "What?" Because putting an object to the number, I mean, you can say it's $30,000 and this car is 30. If she really understood then that there was a definite cost to going to school.
Yeah. And that's where, I think as you get, we see folks at PTA meetings. We could do presentation at PTA meetings and state fairs. And typically, a lot of times we see the kids leading their parents into our tent or where we are at the PTA after meeting education areas. They know that the college costs something. So none of this comes as news to children that this is to your student that this is going to cost money. It's one of those things. And again, you see it all the time. And when young people say 85% of, we survey 1,000 high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And with 85% of them say they're planning on working full time, 69% planning on living at home, 42% plan on finding out that less expensive alternative. I think kids are completely aware of the cost of higher education.
Chris, what I like about this conversation, and you touched on it, is that 529s are not just being used for college education now. Can you again just walk us through some of the ways 529's plans have expanded, what kinds of programs are eligible beyond traditional college, and how families can use these accounts differently as they learned about these benefits? I think that often also grandparents are a little bit worried about funding things like this because they're not certain, will the kid go to college? But
right.
There's much more flexibility now. Can you go into that a little?
Yeah, let's do, if it's okay, a primer on 529s first.
It's
a tax advantage program, savings program. And you can get them through your financial advisor. You can also get them directly from your state. Every state has one, except for Wyoming. I believe they send their folks to Colorado. But so they're readily available out there. And when I say, you know, they've been around for 30 years. And when I say that they're a tax advantage savings program, what I mean is this, is that when you open up an account, again, go talk to your financial advisor, you call your state's program directly, and you put money in, and that money grows. The gains on that money, the growth that you enjoy, is not taxed. So it is tax-free savings, tax-free earnings when the money is in the account. The really nice thing is, and that's nice, the tax-free growth, but when you take the money out and you use it for qualified higher education expenses, that money remains tax-free. So it is true tax-free savings and investments. And when I talk about qualified higher education expenses, I'm talking about, again, college tuition, room and board, fees, but I'm also talking about those skilled trades and vocational programs. You know, if you want to become a truck driver, welder, electrician, aviation mechanic, you can use that money, 529 money, and it is, again, still tax-free. If you want to continue your education or you can go back to school, go to your local community college, enhance your skills, enhance your thinking. Again, taking money out from your 529 to pay for that is tax-free. So a wide variety of things. And that's really the most important thing that about 529s is they're very flexible in the types of education that you can spend them on, whether it is the college track or the career track or the vocational track, you can use 529s to help pay for the expenses of those classes and courses. Now, the other kicker here in the terms of tax advantage is that while there's no federal tax deduction for your contributions into your 529, many states offer tax incentives for 529s, including deductions or credits for contributions. And that is, a big benefit to families saving. You can take a little of that money off on your taxes, your state income taxes. But I think one of the best things about 529, when I got out of college, I went into banking. And I'm always grateful because I met my wife, but I'm not a math major. So banking was not my gig. But one of the great things is they sent us into the branches, and we were tellers for a while. And we told for a fairly long period of time, where we went over and opened up accounts. And a lot of times, I worked in a branch that had a cookie factory just down the road. It was a commercial industrial area. And the folks would come in with their paychecks. And at the beginning of the year, a lot of them would open up Christmas Club accounts. And they essentially, and then they put money in there. Very rarely did I see someone take money out of those accounts until it was time for the holidays and buying those gifts. And the reason why is, I'm betraying my rural roots here, but you've named the cow, you've named that money. You've essentially purposed that money for a particular activity. And when it becomes an activity or a goal, money for a goal that your children have, it becomes particularly, I think, harder to pull that money out and pay for a mad money or an impulse purchase or that type of thing. It's there. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes family finances demand that you do take that money out, but it makes it just that more difficult to take that money out unless it's for education.
Welcome to Money Sense. My guest today is Chris McGee, and Chris is the chair of the College Savings Foundation. Chris, I think that when you're talking now and you brought up the holidays, we're coming to Thanksgiving and we're coming to Christmas, and so often our clients are looking at gifting. Many times they're looking at gifting out of their own, of course, their own personal assets. They're looking at charities and what they can do. And education for children comes up all the time. And what I think is happening, and I see it happening, is that planning for education now is more multi-generational. And we're seeing that parents, grandparents, and even siblings who are doing really well are saying, you know, why should I help over here when I've got nieces and nephews that maybe their parents aren't as in a situation we are, but we can do some gifting and help those kids out. So it's becoming much more popular. And I also want to say that if grandparents pay their tuition directly to the school, it's not counted towards their annual gift limit. And so when I help out my kids for college, but also for doctors, dentists, braces. I've put a lot of braces on grandkids. if I make that checkout directly to the doctor, to the dentist, it's not considered my gift. And some of the limits right now are $18,000 per individual per year. So for a husband and wife, you can give $36,000 jointly to any person. And 529 plans also allow super funding, contributing up to 5 years worth, which is $90,000, or a single one lump sum of $180,000 for a couple over time. So one of my favorite things to see is when families come together, parents, grandparents, even aunts and uncles, to a gift of education is one of the most meaningful legacies they can. And it doesn't even have to be a grandchild. I've been talking to my clients and saying, if every one of us could just find one person to pour into and ask ourselves, how can we make that life better? If you have the opportunity to see somebody that could use help in funding education, whether it's early education, whatever it is, education is so important. And so how are you seeing families collaborate across generations to fund education?
Yeah, no, Karen, I agree totally. With something with this big of a price tag, it takes a village sometimes to afford it. And it's great. I think, you know, just my kids are in their mid to upper 20s, early 30s. And what I'm finding is that they remember some of what I said, but they absolutely remember everything that I did, and unfortunately, sometimes. So your actions, as the old saying goes, speak louder than words. And so it's instructive and a powerful way to help a child, especially around the holidays, to show that you value education enough to make contributions to an education savings account, a 529 account, particularly. Now, I will tell you, one of the greatest things about our student survey is that, again, 1,000 high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors, when we ask them, three quarters say they would rather receive money for education on special occasions than tangible gifts. So 75% of the kids out there would rather see a contribution to a 529 account or to an education savings account than, you know, the latest, whatever the latest thing is out there on the shelves. I think that speaks to me most, one of the most powerful responses we got in our surveys, both parent and student, is that kids are thinking about this so much that they want to get cash contributions rather than what is the next hot toy or the next whatever is the kids out there are wanting for Christmas. And, you know, of those 75%, 82% of them want parents to make it easier for family and friends by providing gift givers a link directly to their 529 account. So, and shameless plug here, but my association, CSF, has an interactive map of the U.S. where you can click on the state and see what gifting programs are being offered by our members. most 529, if not all 529 programs, have some kind of gifting program out there. And if you go to our website, and it's collegesavingsfoundation.org, again, collegesavingsfoundation.org, just go up to that landing page, go up in the upper right-hand corner, and there's a tab for gifting programs, so you can find more about it. But it's just, you know, for those, you know, and grandparents, we go out and talk to parents regularly about this. One of the biggest concerns they have is, what if my child, and it speaks to the flexibility of 529, so they ask, what if my child doesn't go to select higher education? Or what if my child, more common, is what if my child gets that full ride scholarship? And I think we all as parents, you know, believe, especially, you know, when they're young, that they're going to get that full ride scholarship, a merit scholarship or athletic scholarship. But in reality, only a small percentage, and it's less than 2%, actually get that full ride scholarship. And most folks are choosing, most students are choosing higher education. But if you, for some reason, you don't need, or your child does not need that money for higher education, one of the best things about 529s is that you can change the beneficiary very easily. You are not your initial person that you select as the beneficiary is not the beneficiary you have to keep with. If you can transfer it to another one of your children or grandchildren, you can transfer it to another member of the family. You can also use it, you can transfer it to yourself and use it for your own career development. So that's it. And one other thing that I think your listeners need to know about, if they don't already, is that Congress also, in addition to widening the kinds of education you could pay for through 529, also permitted, as of January 1 of this year, if you're lucky enough to have enough money left, you have money left over after your student has finished at least their initial higher education goals, you can take those balances, those remaining balances, up to $35,000, and transfer them over to a Roth IRA for that 529 beneficiary. So not only have you helped reduce or eliminated your child's reliance on student loans for their education, you're also kickstarting your child's retirement savings as well very early in their career.
And that's tax-free. I want to just go back to talking, the Roth is tax-free for that child, which is absolutely wonderful. So I guess just that money is never wasted. If you save it, it's not wasted. But I want to talk about one of the things that comes up, Chris, when I'm talking to clients is, can I afford to give money away? Very often, a client will say, do I have enough money? I'd love to give money away, but maybe I should leave it at my death when I'm gone, so I make sure I've had enough. And I always try to encourage my clients to sit down and look at what they have saved. And, you know, healthcare is one of the most difficult things for us to get our arms around. We really don't know what those costs are going to be. We don't know what our health is going to be. And so people are concerned. But I would encourage everyone to sit down with your financial advisor, because we have the capability of looking at when is enough enough and helping you to determine, do you want to leave it at your death? Do you want to leave resources during your lifetime? And for me, I really love to see my grandkids have experiences and be able to have opportunities to go to college during my lifetime. I plan on living a long time, squeezing every ounce I can out of this life. And what good is it when I'm 80 or 90 years old, passing this money that I have, if they could have used it during their lifetime? But you can sit down with a financial advisor and you can ask those questions and you can see what would work. And I can tell you that most of my clients don't even spend the income earned on their portfolio every year. And it gets down to that decision, you know, what is the money for? How much do you want to leave? And those are really important questions. And guess what? They're actually questions that can be answered. And you might be in a position to help your grandchildren, to help somebody to get that education, to further their life. And, you know, You said it very early on. Walk your talk. Your actions are more important than what your words are. And by building that legacy of trying to be better, do better, it almost always centers around conversations and education.
Absolutely. No, it's funny. It's a great timing. I totally agree with you, Karen. And my wife and I are meeting with our financial advisor tomorrow to talk about those things. And, you know, it's one of those things. It's a fine balance between taking care of yourself and also taking care of your children sometimes. And it's, you know, as much data as you can get and information and advice that you can get on that, those subjects is great. You know, it's just one of the things, and one of the reasons CSF exists is to make sure that American families know about education savings, know about 529 accounts, and know that it's easy to start and it's so important just to start saving for education. As we mentioned earlier in the program, right now, student loan debt, total student loan debt is over $1.8 trillion, which is a scary number. And what we know about that is that, you know, high student loan debt burdens prevent children from going to that next. We all, you know, when we were kids, we had dreams, go to school, go to higher education, afford that house, afford other things in life, like a car and that type of thing. And a high student loan debt burden, you know, shows that basically those dreams of home ownership or just regular adult life are delayed because kids are out there trying to pay that monthly student loan debt off. And so it's important as much as possible to help them.
My guest today is Chris McGee. And as I mentioned earlier, he's the chair of the College Savings Foundation and head of policy Commonwealth Savers. And his mission is to help families make smart, lifelong decisions about saving for education so kids can chase their dreams without being weighted down by debt. And one of the things that I want to say in closing is that education has always been one of the most meaningful investments a family can make, not just in dollars, but in hope and opportunity. As we heard from Chris today, a lifetime approach to learning helps families stay flexible, intentional, and aligned with their values. And Chris, I want to thank you for sharing such valuable insights. We're coming into the holidays, which is always that dilemma, is what do we buy for someone? And maybe looking at birthdays and Christmas and adding a small gift, but the bigger gift is the idea of helping education and helping kids to further their careers. And we're always learning every day. And I always told my kids, don't worry about what you want to do. Try everything and figure out what you don't want to do. And what you want to do will come to the surface. And I just want to say that, as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Thank you, Chris. And everyone, have a great weekend. Bye-bye.